book of Exodus, and I want you to find the book of James. We're going to turn to James chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 19, and then we're going to go to Exodus 15, and we're going to read out of verse 26. And today's message is, it's in the topic of love, but it's really the ingredient that makes love work in your marriage, in your friendships, in church, basically in life. It's a very, very important ingredient. If you don't have this, it all falls apart. It's like having no cement in the building structure. It just crumbles. And you've got to have a solid foundation. You've got to have something like this, what we're going to talk about. And it's simply called listening. How do we practice listening? So at this moment, I would love every wife or female significant other to just pinch the snot out of the guy sitting next to you and say, you better listen today. Because it's very important for us guys to be reminded on how to listen. And guys, don't pinch back. just say, okay, I'm gonna learn to listen. This is very, very important for us. So in James chapter 1, verse 19, what does it say? Do we have that scripture up there? Cheese? Almost? There we... Nope, we're getting there. And who's got it? Who got it in there? James 1:19. Well, it's up there on scripture, so now we all have it. So, Steve, you want to read it out real loud? Amen. Swift to listen, slow to open your big mouth, and really, really slow to get all angry and riled up. It used to be a time if somebody got angry because you just were too quick and with your words or whatever, they'd get right in your face. When I was in junior high, you would get right in the face of the other person, and you'd have this like series before there was any fist thrown. You'd just be right in each other's face, and you'd be saying whatever you could about the other person's mama, their friends, their family, whatever, their breath, their outfit, their shoes. It was just all kinds of evil communication coming out your mouth, and they would be like, whoa, 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 whoa. And that went on for a long time. I think that was the birthplace of rap, because how well you went off on the other person got everybody else rallied around. You got a good crowd before you had a good fight and things like that, and it was so crazy, but they all kind of come together. Swift to listen, not to react. Slow to speak, to open your mouth, and definitely slow to anger. And the skills for listening are very important, and we're not born with them. Think about that. You and I are not born with skills to listen. Do babies listen well? No, they don't. They don't. They do one thing well: self. They are completely selfish from the womb. They come out, all they want is whatever they want, when they want it, how they want it. I'm hungry. Wah. I'm poopy. Wah. I need you to hold me. Wah. They don't really think about anyone else. About mama who wants to sleep, daddy who might need to get up early and go to work. They're not thinking about that. Why? They are self-centered from birth. And then they grow, and hopefully they grow out of it. Or they become a teenager who says, I need the iPhone. I need this. I need that. I need that. What? And then they whine, whine, just because they don't get it. I need. And then it's just bad. We don't want selfish adults, do we? Yeah, amen. Exodus 15:26. Let's turn there. I just got this thought. How many of you feel like you're an excellent listener? Raise your hand really high. That's awesome. You just, so few people, no real gutsy people are like, yeah, I listen great. I'm a great listener. How many of you are sitting next to someone who is not a good listener? More hands went up. It's like, that's so funny. It didn't make any difference because the person sitting next to you wasn't listening anyway. So it's not like it made any difference. They're like, what was that about? Why did we raise our hands? And it's like, so funny. In Exodus 15:26, it says this. This is from God talking to God's people, the children of Israel. It says, if you diligently listen to my voice, if you diligently listen to my voice, I, the Lord your God, will do what is right, or and do what is right in the Lord God's sight. Give ear to my commandments and keep all my statutes. This is what? I'm not going to put any of the diseases on you which have been brought on those Egyptians, because I'm the Lord who heals you. This is so important, because there's no wiggle room around the fact that if we are not cultivating a listening ear to God, you will experience trouble in your life. This doesn't erase grace and God's love. This is just called real life. Just like in a real marriage or a real relationship, if you don't listen, you will not be in a real marriage or a real relationship for long. You follow me? Say amen. Any of you that are in a real relationship, say amen. You have to listen. And so with God, if we fail to cultivate a listening ear, you will not experience the peace that goes beyond your understanding. You have to have a good relationship with God. And it really is marked with listening. How well do you listen to God the Father? Wow, this is some good stuff. Well, you might be thinking, it's so hard to listen. You're not alone. There is a disease called pure word deafness. Have you ever heard of this? I didn't either. But I feel so liberated now that I have a label for this disease. I am going to use it like crazy. Honey, it's just pure word deafness. That's all it is. Here's what happens. In this area of your brain, there's a portion of your brain, and they call it Wernicke's area. I have no idea who that is. Probably the doctor who named it or something. If you have lesions, little cuts and bleeds in this particular portion of your brain, and if you have it on one side and then especially on the front and to the right of that same side, then what happens is you still have the ability to hear all kinds of sounds, music, tones, bells ringing, everything. The only thing you can't hear is words. Sound like science fiction, doesn't it? But it is true. So this 23-year-old, this was just about 5 years ago, this is very rare, but this 23-year-old bank teller started to get headaches at work. And slowly she began to go, excuse me, what did you say? Excuse me, what? At the bank, all the time. People are trying to make deposits on stuff, and she keeps going through the little, the microphone thing. What was that? Withdraw? Put it in my account? What was that? and she's just mixing it up all the time. And it got worse and worse until suddenly she could not hear the words coming out of people's mouths. She would be watching and she could hear everything else, but she couldn't hear the words. And so she went to the doctor, of course, and she was looking for the headaches. They took MRIs. They had all these scans, and they actually saw the lesions in this area, this Wernicke's area. And they began to say, well, this is it. This is what's happening. You can't connect all of the logic and everything needed to hear and understand those words. And so they began a strenuous 10-week steroid therapy for her brain, and she began to hear the words again, slowly and slowly. After that 10 weeks, she could hear just fine. And they call it pure word deafness. So, wives, does your husband have pure word deafness? Does he complain of headaches and just mysteriously can't understand a thing coming out of your mouth? Some of you are going, yes. And not now, honey. I have a headache from today. And it could be pure word deafness. I don't know, but that's what it could be. I look at this and I think, God, help us to listen to each other. Help us to listen to you. And what would be important for us to learn from the Lord today? Well, here's the thing I'd probably like to say. In the Old Testament, often listening is synonymous with doing. So when God is asking us to listen, he's really saying, I want you to do what I've told you to do. If you've heard it, then you are responsible to act. If you've heard it, you're responsible to act. If you don't act, then either you didn't hear it or you didn't care. And listening isn't just the function of hearing the sound. It's actually caring about what you've heard. And so in our spiritual life, if you and I are going to listen to God, we're going to read the scripture, and it's actually going to impact your heart. It's going to touch you in your heart. If it doesn't touch you in your heart, you're not listening. And so your heart has the qualities of an ear. In scripture, you can hear this brought up often in the New Testament. Their hearts are hardened and they can't hear. They're callous. It's almost like they're plugged. Their ears are plugged. What is it? They are no longer touched in their heart with what they read or what is preached or what the Holy Spirit impresses. When was the last time God touched your heart with something you read in Scripture? Moved you. You were moved by it. You read it, and suddenly from somewhere tears start to well up. You don't even understand why, because it somehow pricked your heart. If that hasn't happened, are you listening? Are you actually listening to the Word of God? Have you ever been in a service or in a corporate gathering and you felt the presence of the Lord and it just moves you to tears? That's listening to God. It's so very, very important. If it doesn't move you in your heart, then you're not hearing and listening God. So, and I don't think you can listen too much. I don't think you can hear too much. I think it's just hard to listen. It's difficult. So then let's start maybe in some practical areas, because in practical areas, what you do in your real life relationships often mirror what we're doing with God too. So in real world listening, I love what I've heard from Dr. John Townsend. He says this: listening is really you combining content and emotion so that you can reach an understanding. So in a relationship, there's content, but then there's an acknowledgement, a real connection with the emotion. And then you have what is called understanding. And that's when you know you've listened. So when Petrea and I have a conversation, there are many times, sad to say, where I hear the content, but I don't really understand yet. And she may have to tell me the same content again, maybe in a different way. If she's real creative, maybe two or three different ways. And then suddenly, I have a sense of empathy. I feel what she's trying to convey to me. I finally get it. I go, ooh, you feel strongly about this. This really hurts your feelings, or you're passionate about this. I get it. I totally get it. Suddenly, it's like a light bulb goes on, and I go, I understand. I totally understand. But until then, I don't care how many times the content has been conveyed, it's like it doesn't make any sense yet. And so understanding, you almost have to fight sometimes to get to that place of understanding. I remember one time my mom and my dad were having an argument about things. Every morning they would have an argument. And the argument went, and it wasn't for long, but it was just a little point of contention in the marriage, and it was over breakfast. It was over something to do with breakfast. And this turned into a funny thing in our family. And so growing up, this was a comedy thing, and it became the family joke. Mom had evidently heard this phrase at some point, and in order for her to communicate to my dad, and I've inherited all of my good listening skills from my dad, she had to try and convey things over and over again until the point where it connected with them. And so I just remember vividly, it came to a peak in this. Mom yelling at dad saying, if you want a hot breakfast, then light your cornflakes on fire. It was at that moment he caught the emotion. And he realized what he needed to understand. You know, there's times where communication, the content just isn't there. And I remember even in a key moment in my life, I was really rebellious and I wasn't walking with the Lord. And I was trying to run from my call so bad. It took my dad setting me down in a car and talking to me, not just in a soft voice, but talking to me in a firm voice and telling me the same content he's told me many, many times before. And then he would just say, I don't know what else to say. I'm just going to pray. And you're not going anywhere. And I'm like, all right, fine. You pray and you talk to God and all that other stuff. I'm going to sit here. And he prayed and he prayed and he didn't care if I was there. And then he was praying, and I think he was praying so that I could hear what he was praying. I don't know what was going on. I just knew it was uncomfortable and I didn't like the whole situation. But he was trying to convey an emotion, both to God the Father and to his son that sat right next to him, how important it was for me to take my faith and life serious. And suddenly, my heart began to feel the message. And tears began to roll down my face. And I realized how off I was, how rebellious I had become, and how hard and cold my heart was. And I began to really break and cry. And then there wasn't just one person crying in the vehicle, there were two. And then there was a hand on a shoulder, and then finally there was communication. Not just between a father and a son, but between a son and his heavenly father. And I began to just pray again and began to talk to the Lord again. And you know what? Sometimes getting to that place of understanding is very, very difficult. I don't know about you, but sometimes a relationship needs a good fight. It just does. Because intimacy is guarded. It's guarded. You don't have free access into that secret place of the heart with just saying, I just want to get in and get to know you and stuff. That's not just how it works. You have to prove that you will do the work necessary to understand. And that takes trust, and it takes verified trust and commitment. And it usually comes across in the form of conflict. It doesn't have to be explosive. It doesn't have to be bleeding necessarily. But there's resistance and there's conflict. There has to be surrender. There has to be something. And then the heart is really impacted and there's good communication. So in James 1:19, like our scripture says, it says we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is definitely not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous weighs its answer, but the mouth of a wicked person just gushes evil. In Proverbs 17:28, it says, even a fool is thought wise if he what? Holds his tongue, keeps his mouth shut. And discerning if he holds his tongue and keeps his mouth shut. Wow. So here's some practical guidelines. These are not all mine. I just kind of paraphrase these. These are practical guidelines for us as listeners in a generic sense. So it applies to you if you're a young person or if you're in a marriage relationship or if you're on the job. Here's the first thing. Think about it in a rhetorical sense too. Do you listen and understand like this? While someone's talking to you, what are you doing? What are you doing while someone's talking to you? Husbands, when your wife really needs to talk to you, what do you do in that moment? Friend, when another friend really wants to have a heart-to-heart conversation with you, what are you doing while that person's talking to you? What if you're a student and your teacher takes a little minute and just sits with you and says, here's blah, 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 blah. What are you doing while that teacher is talking? Here's the first thing. Do not think about your reply while someone else is talking. Don't think about what you're going to say while someone else is talking. How many of you have ever been guilty of doing that? Me. Always. How many of you think about what you're going to say and interrupt so you could say what you're thinking? Me too. I do that too. It's like, man, I just wish I could plug my brain into their brain so they could think what I'm thinking. It would save us a lot of time. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. But do not think about your reply while someone else is talking to you. That's very, very hard for some of us to do. The next thing is this. Make it your goal to get into their perspective. Make it your goal to get into their perspective. The hardest thing sometimes for us when it comes to listening is to leave our perspective right where it's at. Stop trying to prove that you're right or that your perspective is the most important perspective and leave it. Get into their perspective. Very, very important. It doesn't mean anything more than you just learning how to, you know, listen. How hard is that to get into the perspective of the other person? It's very hard. And sometimes the minute you finally get their perspective, then listening has been accomplished. Then the argument is avoided. It's all over. You understand? Wow. Just simply from getting the perspective of the other person. That's very, very challenging. Here's another one, and this is a pet peeve of mine. Hey, Steve, come here for a second. This is a pet peeve of mine. Just tell me how to change the oil in a car. Ready?
Drain the oil, do the little doohickey on the bottom of the oil pan, and drain the oil, and then go ahead and Change the filter, pull the filter.
Anybody
off.
See what I'm doing?
Pull the filter off and then put the other filter back on, put a doohickey back.
You might
on.
Need to say my name every now and then just
yeah,
to get my attention.
Ben, go ahead and put the oil in the.
Do you get what I'm doing yet? What am I doing? I'm not looking at him. And if this is intimidating for you, maybe it's because at some point when you were talking, someone was doing this to you. Now tell me the same thing.
Well, anyway. You drain the oil. And then,
It's like, how many feel like you don't want to be the awkward friend listening with laser eyeballs? You know, and then it makes you feel uncomfortable too. And here's the problem is now we live in a culture and in a generation where if this was my cell phone, go ahead and tell me now. Go ahead.
Well, you take the oil, you go, you drain it out first off. And
then you sorry.
And then you put the doohickey back on, take the filter mm-hmm. off, put the filter, new filter back
I
on.
I know.
And then you put the oil, you dump it in the ground.
That's awesome. What was that again?
You dump it in the ground.
Sorry. Yeah, that just stinks too. That's exactly how we listen. We no longer connect. We no longer know how to do that. So here's what one psychologist, Dr. Henry Cloud says this. With kids, he goes, it may help with kids to take a little sticker, an eyeball sticker, and put it right on your forehead. And it freaks them out because then now they have something to look at. And they're like, whoa. And they're like, yeah. I'm over here. Look right here. Connect with me. And it really helps them. Thanks, man. So he's like right there. And it really helps them to make facial contact. Just connect. And then for the laser, you know, focus guys, if you're the laser focus guy, just know that there's a 3-second rule. There's a 3-second rule. If it's longer than a 3-second stare, you're really not listening. You're scaring them. You're really not listening. You're just there to scare them. I'm here to scare you. I'm here to scare you. I'm here to scare you. And that's all you should be saying if you're staring right at their eyeballs for longer than 3 seconds. Do glances away. Look at their eyes and look at maybe their hair. Look at their eyes and look at their shoulder. Look at their eyes and maybe scratch your hand. Look at their eyes again. And you do this. I know this sounds so stupid that we have to say this, but we have lost the skill of listening and talking. So today, practice it. Over lunch, one of you be the designated laser scarer. One of you find a sticker, put an eyeball on your forehead. One of you, I mean, just try different things. And then many of you try the 3-second rule. 1, 2, 3, look away. 1, 2, 3, look away. 1, 2, 3, look down. 1, 2, 3. And it just makes you happier in your communication. I love that. So that's messed up. Okay, here's another practical thing. This one's great. I used to call it reflective listening, but then it tended to backfire. So there's a balance here. You can't be weird or like a parrot, but you need to affirm what you think they're trying to convey. You need to affirm what you think they're trying to convey. How I describe this best is, how many of you have been to McDonald's right out here? You been to McDonald's out there? You go up in the drive-thru, you get to the drive-thru window, you order your breakfast burritos with your hash browns and your large coffee, and then what does the 9-year-old on the other side of the thing say to you? This is what they say. And I'm like, what was that? I'm telling you, I don't understand anything. And then it's like, that's $5.75. I heard that real clear. What was the rest of the stuff you said? It's just very funny. But you know, in those little drive-thrus, they actually have to practice this, reflective listening. You say, I want 2 burritos and blah, 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 and a large coffee. They say things like, would you please check the screen to make sure that I heard you correctly? Is this exactly what you said? 2 burritos, no pico sauce, no whatever like that. And then you have to say, yes, that's exactly what I said. Or you say, oh my gosh, what are you doing? You're not listening to a thing I said. Oh no, that was me this morning. That was, don't you realize I need this? I gotta go to that church right there and spread love. And then I'm like, I mean, I'm sorry, what would Jesus order? Jesus would order a double extra tall mercy with some loving kindness on top. See, reflective listening is when someone tells you something, before you move on anywhere else in the conversation, you've got to give them the chance to say, yes, that's exactly what I said. This is appropriate in very heavy conversations. It's very appropriate in light conversations because misunderstandings are awesome. We love misunderstandings when they're in a comedy movie. But in real life, it's dangerous. We were skiing yesterday, and Petrae and I, it was our only time we rode up on the T-bar together. And so when we both went to the T-bar together, and the little cute little girl that's like running the T-bar, like little puts the T-bar right by your tushy. And that was right when Petrae comes to me, and I'm like, hey, cutie. And I sit down on the thing. We're going up the T-bar. She's laughing, and she's going, he just said, hey, cutie. And I think she thinks you were thinking her. And I'm like, wow, that's awkward. I did not know. I was like, you were right there. You didn't do anything. You're laughing. This is so not what a wife is supposed to do. You should be smacking, right? Like, she knew it was a misunderstanding. And I look at this, and I think it's so important for us to move beyond misunderstandings in our listening. How do we do this with God? We've been talking about people. I'll be frank with you. Probably the biggest liability in Christianity today is we do not practice this with God. We think we hear something and we blame it on God, but we haven't asked him, is that what you said? Is that what you meant? Maybe we heard it third person, fourth person. Maybe we hear it in a song or we hear it from somewhere else. We think we understood what God might have said or communicated to us, and it really is potentially dangerous. And if we've never turned and on our knees or in Scripture went and found what he really says, we're going to be surprised. Because a lot of times he'll say, I never said that. That's not what I meant. That's not even what's in the Bible. Where did you get that? Was it in a fortune cookie? I didn't say that. Is it on a poster on some business wall? I didn't say that. I never said I'll help those who help themselves. But it sounds like you. It doesn't sound like me. How many of you think that's in the Bible? God helps those who help themselves. It's not in there. But there's a lot of people out there that feel like that's something God says. No. How would we know unless we ask? Is that what you said, Lord? And so on a lot of things in our spiritual life, we've got to ask him. Amen? Okay, so affirm what we think we've heard. So the practical guidelines. Don't think about your reply while you're listening. Everybody got that? Say, uh-huh. You got it. Get into their perspective. That's your goal of listening. So whenever you're not the one talking, you've got to get their perspective, right? So you've got to get their perspective. The third thing is what? Look. What's the third point? Look at them. Make connection. Connect with them. What's the fourth one? Affirm that you've heard them by asking them, is this what you said? That's very, very important. And then here's the last thing. Once you've heard the content, once you've heard all that, guys, perk up. Listen, men, ask about the feeling. It's not funny. This is not funny. All the girls are like already starting to laugh. And all the guys are sweating. I'm looking at the guys and they're like, oh, man. Yep, get your Hallmark on. You're going to ask about feelings. You will not understand whatever comes out of their mouth after that. But you need to ask about the feelings. I'm having fun with it. But you know what? Guys feel too. Guys have hearts and emotions. We're made in God's image, and he feels. The Holy Spirit has feelings and emotions. And I'll tell you, the only reason it's difficult for men is because it's hard to connect words with feelings. It's just hard to. And sometimes just the obstacles are so overwhelming, it's easier to ignore it than to confront it. And a lot of times, that just makes it worse, which makes it easier to avoid it than to confront it. And it's a vicious cycle. And for years, you may go without talking about things that you could have talked about at any time, but you just don't talk about it because it's too hard to ask the feelings question. So after you've got the content, after you've done all this, you need to put everything aside and say something about the feelings. How's that make, how you feel about all that? And you'll be surprised at what comes next. You may have a breakthrough in your relationship. You may have a breakthrough in your conversation skills, but you have to ask the feelings question. Everybody got that? Woohoo! Oh, man. Last 2 points I'm going to make this morning is this. After you've listened, oh, man. Okay, well, before I make my last 2 points, I'm going to add another one. This is a bonus point. Listening is not synonymous with agreement. I have to say this because in church circles, we somehow put them in the same box. That if I listen well, the person that is speaking to me will somehow feel like I am in agreement with what they've said or their perspective. And what if it's really off? Maybe it's not scripture. Maybe it's totally wrong or whatever. Maybe they're a Republican or maybe they're a Democrat. And if I listen and I feel like I've affirmed that I their emotions and there's real understanding, they'll walk away and they'll think I'm a Democrat or a Republican. Listening isn't the same as agreement. It's not. So guys, you can listen and really feel understood. There can be understanding and your doesn't make you a woman and it doesn't make you weak and it doesn't make you anything weird at all. It just means you're learning how to listen well. And that is so, so very important. You know, God is a great listener to you and I, and it doesn't mean he's always in agreement with what you're doing. But every time you want to, you can go and talk to him. And Jesus took on flesh, was tempted in every way like a man, but without blemish, he went to the cross. And that makes him specifically qualified to be a good listener to you. Because he can always empathize with you. No matter what situation you are in life, he can always empathize. That means he can understand and be not in agreement with your behavior, but he can at least lovingly be right there with you. So maybe the goal in all of this is, why don't we, around Valentine's Day, make it listening our most important thing to do? More than anything else, let's just listen better. And maybe we'll be more like God in that. Maybe you will be more like Christ because you are a better listener than any other religious thing you think you need to practice or try out. If you just make it your goal to be a better listener, you'll probably be more Christ-like than ever before. And I believe everybody can improve. I really do. I believe everybody can. Praise God. Last week, we had that scripture, Psalms 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Psalms 141:3, set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. In today's scripture, James 1:19, slow to speak. Man, slow to speak. Quick to listen and slow to anger. Very, very important. Stand with me this morning. Listening skills are very, very important, aren't they? I guess I don't know the best way to apply this prayer and this altar wrap-up, but how many of you have ever been burned in a conversation with someone, so that now whenever you think about having a conversation with that person, your guard is already up. If you can think of a person that fits that kind of dynamic, somebody that you talk with and for some reason they always just fly off the handle. They don't do these things. They it's like they're always given excuses. They don't ever finish listening before they give their rebuttal. They never seem to see your perspective. They don't even look at you or listen to you, it feels like. And as far as feelings, I don't even know if they've ever even thought of your feelings. And if anything, they're just an angry cuss. They just lose it. And it doesn't matter the content. It doesn't matter if you're talking about scrambled eggs. They're going to yell at you and light your cornflakes on fire. They're going to, I don't know, they're going to get in your nose even if you're talking about changing the oil, like what Steve was talking about. They just need an excuse to be angry. And so now whenever it's time to talk about this person might be in your life and very important. It might be a family member. It might be a close friend. It might be a boss, a coworker. There's that side of the issue. Now flip it on its head and say, what if you are that person? What if you're the one that when people try and come talk to you, you've burned them, and now they talk less and less to you? And maybe at some point in your life, you're realizing, I don't think I'm that easy to talk with. And you don't necessarily know how to change. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like maybe I'm the one where it's just hard for people to talk to me? Maybe you're the parent where it's difficult for your kids to come and talk to you. Maybe you're the boss where it's like no one ever comes to you to talk because they're just expecting you to fly off the handle at them. So they go to everyone else but you. And now it's dawning on you. So what do you do if you're in that situation? My prayer is this, that you would avoid harsh answers no matter what the circumstances are, to practice every skill you could come up with, search every Google whatever, come up with all the things that would be in your toolbox to count to 10 before you respond, to walk away, do a lap, 10 push-ups, 20 push-ups, eat a cookie. I don't know what it is, but if you have the habit of burning those conversational bridges, then you will never get to practice listening because you're blowing everything up before it even gets a chance. So the challenge for you is to overcome the person that's burned you before with kindness. Overcome them. Overcome them with kindness. Just overwhelm them. Persevere in it. Never give up. God does that with you and I. And then if you are the person that's blowing conversations up because of your anger, you need to just recognize that today as God's voice to you saying, stop with the harsh response. And begin to just be gentle in your answer. Make it your goal. Put a shift your perspective and say, the relationship is more important to me than being right. The relationship is more important to me than being heard. The relationship is more important to me. Basically, the relationship is more important. And it is so valuable. Amen? I hope this was just encouraging to you and challenging you. Let's pray. Father God, we love you so much. We love you so much. And we are reminded right now of how often in Scripture you say you are the God that hears us when we call to you, when we pray. Lord, it is not a one-way conversation, and we thank you for hearing us. But we also thank you that you want to teach us this morning on how to listen to you. And let us listen. Not quick to respond to something you're saying to us and defend ourselves, but to really hear you. To try and hear your perspective and what you're saying to us. And then, Lord, not just to hear the content of it, but to be impacted with our hearts and to act on it, to do it. Help us to be hearers and doers with you and with each other. Father, help us to be better listeners this Valentine's Day, this Valentine's season. Help us to be better listeners so that the world would see our love and our empathy. Lord God, I pray right now for an anointing for that, that the visible church would be the best listeners on the planet. Oh, Father God, help us. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise God. Love you guys. We're going to open up the altar. If there's any need whatsoever, please come talk with us. Pray with us. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, please come down. Talk to me. Talk to Josh and Melanie, and we'd be happy to pray with you. Other than that, you are dismissed. We are going to have a rehearsal for Piggy Opera after church. And there is a business meeting scheduled, but because of the pressing Piggy Opera, we're going to postpone our business meeting. So we double booked today. Sorry for double booking, but we will connect with you guys. And if you're on that building committee meeting, would you come and touch base with me this morning? Awesome. Other than that, you're dismissed. Have a great Sunday. See you in small groups or wherever else you're at tonight. Amen.
Oh, bless his name.